You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast.
Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
And now, two guys who know that Delta 8
is not a flight number.
Chris and the Riz.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is episode 419. The Detroit Lions' first preseason game is in the books, and this is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris. With me is my good friend, and gosh, it looks like you look like you've been up for a bit. Glorious co-host, Jeff the Riz Rizden. How are you doing, brother?
Good morning. It's a wonderful early Saturday morning after a late Friday night. We're having fun with this. Yes.
It's a good time.
Great. It's a good time. We had football last night, Chris. All is well in the world again.
That's right. And you know, Ryan, I appreciate that. I see it in the chat. You only fail if you quit. That is such a Dan Campbell thing. I appreciate you guys. I love the support from you folks. All right, we got a great show today. Fantasy football is live. We'll talk about that quick. We'll recap the Lions' first preseason game. Talk about standouts in the game and in camp so far. Of course, it's impossible not to talk about Hard Knocks because it's Hard Knocks. Riz, have you seen these?
In what?
These nuts?
And we'll talk Lions big picture stuff as well, and a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Riz, you ready to go, my man? All right, let's get with it. We'll get right into it. Fantasy football is live right now. Thank you guys for staying with us here. Appreciate that. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Fantasy.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Get yourself locked in. We have great teams. It's a fundraiser to help us burn this new board. This is the second one they've sent me. Burn this publicly in effigy and in reality. It'll be a good time. And replace it. I'm going to go back to the old one. I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing. It's just an absolute disaster. Fantasy football is...
Feed the alligators in your backyard. Who knows?
There we go. Fantasy football is live. Join us for some of the fun. You'll have an awesome, awesome time. Fantasy.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. We have two different leagues. Four of the 12 people in every league wins. You have 1 in 3 chance of winning just by showing up and knowing that other people just aren't as smart as you. Fantasy.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Come in, play against us, play with us, whatever. Have some fun. It's one of the best times and it helps the show out. It's a really, really fun thing. All right, let's talk about it. Lions happened to play some football last night, Riz, and it was actually pretty fun. It was a really exciting game. End of the fourth quarter looked like a road podcaster crappy mixing board, but other than that, it was a pretty good game. That first team, buddy. Holy moly. I liked what I saw.
First team offense was incredible. First play didn't go so well. After that, it was 10 plays, 79 yards, and they lost one or two on the first play. After that, amazing, amazing. Offensive line completely dominated, just blew the Falcons away. Goff was great. He was sharp. He was 3 of 4. The one miss was a Jamal Williams drop that hit him like where it needed to be. It had to be a high throw because the defender was closing low, hit him in the hands up here, and then hit his face mask and bounced away. Goff was great. took exactly what the defense gave him, and they made some plays, and DeAndre Swift looked fantastic. Good time. Great time. Great start.
I'm going to go out there on a limb, and I just want to, I'm going to put that, you, I told you beforehand and laughed. Everyone ahead of the season was talking about, oh, Goff can't do it. Goff's only as good as the team around him. Goff, I mean, it's one drive, so let's not go too far here, right? But right. I completely recognize
and plays.
That. Right. But Goff looked really, really good. It just doesn't look like he has a team. He was the high point of the night for me. He just was smoking. Although there was another player who impressed me, played far beyond what I thought he would. But Goff was it last night. He did great. Loved watching him play. He has a little wobble to his throw, but it goes where it's supposed to. You know, it isn't that beautiful Stafford spiral, but that ball gets to where it needs to be. He looked really good out there. Good touch, put the ball where it had to be. I like it. If I could see that Goff all season, I'm a happy man.
I am too. That, give me that. That's what I want. And some of it is the fact that he's definitely more comfortable with the weapons that he has. We saw DJ Shark last night. Don't believe he caught a pass. Don't believe he was all that involved. But you saw Amon-Ra work in the middle of the field. You saw Hockenson wasn't there. You saw Brock Wright fill in. He did some good things, even though I don't think he touched the ball in the first round. He might have gotten one pass.
But he got a pass real early.
He did.
Yep.
But we saw the genesis of what Ben Johnson is trying to do with the offense. And by the way, Ben Johnson did call the plays last night. That's going to be something that gets asked of Dan tomorrow morning when we get a chance to talk to him in the media. Ben did call the plays last night. For anybody who was wondering, that's still something that is up in the air for the year. Last night looked pretty good. Even when the backups came in after it, I thought that the play calls were fine. The execution, not so much. Yeah. It was hit and miss. I'll give them that. But yeah, the starters and just the way, and I want to single out two guys who don't get a lot of press most of the time. I thought the two best players outside of Goff on the first drive were Halepulavadi Vaitai and Jonah Jackson, the guards. They owned the Falcons. They dominated those guys. Look, Ragnow was great. Tackles were fine. The guards absolutely destroyed the Falcons.
Yeah, 100%. And again, credit to Hank Fraley and that entire offensive line. They're looking really good. Loved Halepulavadi Vaitai's play. He's likely making more. The contract just wasn't as great as it could be, but he's come around. I really, really like where he's at. Can I tell you a guy who surprised me and was later in the game, but I didn't expect even to see him. And this could be a little diamond in the rough on the offensive side of the ball. Devin Funchess, the hurdle.
I just had a good game. He made my postgame notes. It's one of the takeaways. Four catches. I think he only got 19 yards, but he got a touchdown. Great touchdown. By the way, that throw from Tim Boyle.
Yes.
Wow. That's why he's still around, folks. He can do that. Doesn't do it often enough or consistent enough, but he can do that. Mm-hmm. Now, that was a great play.
That was, and Funchess was just out there catching balls, running. I mean, he is definitely a threat. This guy could, and they walked through, let's see, he was injured in 2019. He COVID opted out in 2020. 2021
last summer
dropped by the Packers, right? They cut him.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. With injured status.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like he's been working it. He looks like he's really been working it and wants to come back and wants to play hard. He was out there and this is the kind of staff, and we'll get into that. And when we get into Hard Knocks, this is the kind of staff that could really benefit a guy like Devin Funchess.
Yeah. So he played. And by the way, he got injured in week one in 2019. Mm-hmm. So he's had almost three full years off and switched positions and has been on three different teams now. That's there's a lot that has gone on for Devin Funchess. He is definitely one to root for. And he had a great night last night with apparently a bunch of friends and family in the stands, too, at Ford Field, which is that's awesome. I love that. Love it.
And then it comes to be the light of your end of your tunnel. We'll get into that too. All right. O-line, very solid. Hutch, let's dive a little bit in Hutch because his start was like every
please.
I, I was of two minds. Okay. And and I don't want to be the jinxy guy here, but you remember the Quandre Diggs interception against the Jets to start off the season? I saw Hutch and I'm like, yeah, like, uh-oh. I had this, you know, touched my fandom flashback. I was like, oh, dude, no,
you are scarred.
No. You know it.
Lionized.
Hutch looked great. Just blew up the left tackle. Played well.
Left tackle, by the way, that's Jake Matthews, former top 10 overall pick, two-time Pro Bowler. Yeah. Jake Matthews at left tackle. Didn't touch him.
Yep. So that, and then we see, and he played well. I think there's one thing that we saw through the first quarter, at least into the second quarter for sure. The defense was over pursuing. And I mean, I saw that early, and the Falcons did a great job of knowing and playing, mitigating against that, using misdirection and other things to leave the defense out of position so that they could move yards. Marcus Mariota being mobile. This is, again, I'm going to throw back to the touch you in your fandom years. But the one thing we saw, like with the Chiefs, when Patricia's defense played against them, it was a contain. Right. You're going to contain Patrick Mahomes, make him just be a quarterback. Don't let him scramble. We did the opposite. We were running
not with his
all over. Right. We were over pursuing a mobile quarterback. And look, Marcus Mariota is not Patrick Mahomes, but it just was the wrong recipe. Right. It was the wrong recipe for that game.
Yeah. And you know, I wrote about this morning on Lions Wire, and there's a couple things that go with it. One is the fact that they do not practice against a mobile quarterback. I think that's a big problem. We have seen it. I believe it was Monday's practice where Jared Goff took off and got 30 yards twice on runs that weren't designed runs. He's just like, there's nobody here. I'm going to go. And he did it. If Goff is doing that, imagine what a guy like we saw it, what Mariota can do, what Desmond Ridder can do, what Jalen Hurts is going to do in week one. And by the way, the Eagles looked phenomenal last night. That's I don't want to be a downer on people. I'm telling you all, week one is the most difficult game on the schedule for the Lions in terms of X's and O's. Do not get frustrated by it. The Eagles are a playoff team. They're going to win 11, 12 games, and they are a nightmare matchup because of how they approach the game against what the Lions do. One of the things, and then this ties into this, the Lions defense is aggressive. When you're aggressive, you're trying to make things happen. Well, when you don't finish the play, things happen for the other side. And you saw a lot of that last night. You saw everybody backside over pursuit. And the linebackers that are supposed to rotate around back, or the safety on the backside, was late consistently. The slot corner, I'm going to single out AJ Parker here because he got blasted twice on it. Completely abandoned his backside gap responsibilities on a couple of plays where the defensive ends over pursued. That's not on the defensive ends. That's on Parker, and it's on the linebackers getting out there. Malcolm Rodriguez was late a couple of times to get out there. Kirby Joseph never got out there. And then look, these are young guys. These are rookies. These are guys that don't have a lot of experience doing that. They don't get to practice it. So it's something that the Lions have to work on. Because that's definitely one of the takeaways from the film, is that they are really vulnerable to quarterbacks who can tuck and run. And by the way, Arthur Smith, the Falcons coach, after the game said, we did not have one single designed quarterback run last night.
Wow. Well, they didn't.
They didn't need to.
Yeah. The Titans didn't either with Malik. Did you see that quote?
By the way, good on Mike Vrabel for doing that, but then you bring in Logan Woodside and he runs up the middle on the first play.
Yeah. It's
like pinch running Cecil Fielder for Tim Raines or something. Oops. Cecil
Fielder. There's a name I haven't heard in a long time. That's great.
Malik did some good things. He did some bad things. It was a fun watch. That's the only other game that I've watched in total so far. And I came away thinking that the Titans defense needs to get better.
Well,
than anything else on this.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, one of the things that Malik Willis is going to be fun to watch. Bottom line. I don't know how good he's going to be.
Absolutely.
He's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And that's, you know what? Football's about fun. So there you go. All right. We'll talk a little bit. So other than the over pursuit, right? I think we attacked, and again, you're playing a little bit of a vanilla defense. You're not doing a whole lot of adjustments during the game, right? This is preseason. We know that. People are going to say I'm nuts. They played better than I thought they would, though. To be 100% honest, my expectations were really, really, really low for this defense. So it's going to be a year, and this is, you know, something I've recognized for a couple weeks now. It's going to be a year where this team has to outscore its opponents. We are a team this year that is hinging upon its offensive performance rather than its defensive performance. Now, I say that, and I see what we are today, and I also recognize that the Lions are a team constantly evolving in perpetual evolution. That doesn't mean this team won't get better on defense as the year goes on. You're right about the Philadelphia game. Not just about how good Philadelphia is and how they match up against us, but the fact that it's the first game of the season, right? I think it's a different game in week, you know, injuries aside, in week 17. You know what I mean? I think it's a whole different thing. So it kind of stinks coming out of the gate, you know, out of the blocks against Philly. But by the same token, I guarantee you, Coach Campbell has had this circled on the calendar. This is a game that they've been looking at and planning for a long time. So it'll be fun. And also, this is always a thing we talk about every year. Week one is fool's gold. If we beat the Eagles, which is, you look at it today and say, wow, it's, but I'd say there's a 40% chance because there's so much just goofiness that happens in week one that's not real. Don't hang your hat on a win too much. Don't hang your hat on a loss too much in that game. Just enjoy it like the last preseason game and one that counts. And then we'll get into the season week two and three. That's when things will really happen.
Absolutely. Week one is always the worst week to bet because there's so many anomalies. You remember Jacksonville, their one win the one year, opening week against Miami, a pretty good Miami team, by the way, mm-hmm. that loss wound up keeping Miami out of the playoffs. That was the only game that Jacksonville won all year.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I want to talk about the linebackers. Okay. And I've seen it in the chat. It's going crazy. Let me really quick. Thank you, Steve, for the super chat. Young linebackers thinking too much. We'll get into that a little bit. Jared Davis. I mean, they couldn't stop talking about him. He was all over the field. My man was playing pretty well. Look, he had a couple plays where he was, oh, that's Jared Davis. And he had a whole number of plays. He was all over the place. I really loved what I saw from him as far as how he's evolved as a player and how he may well fit into this defense and is a pretty strong player.
He had some moments. He did. I thought the first drive of the second half where he came out, he had a great drive that possession. I thought that his speed to close on the quarterback or the running back on an outside run was something that Derek Barnes didn't offer, was something that Malcolm Rodriguez didn't offer as well earlier in the game. Mm-hmm. He did run past a couple of points of attack. He got lost in coverage miserably on one play. Fortunately, Ritter didn't see it. Yeah, that's the Jared Davis experience. That's what you're going for. I thought it was a better game for him than he has practiced, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. When the lights came on, he showed up. And that's something that Dan Campbell has talked about a lot is, you know, who can play when the lights come on, not just under the practice sunshine. And Jared Davis played better in the game than he has in practice. That was nice to see.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I'm rooting for Davis. I really am. I want him to.
He's a good dude, man. He's a good human being.
My son and I saw him after camp. He came out the front of the building, right? Everyone had cleared out. They'd gone in the building after everything. And we were there for a bit. We stayed late and then we were coming out. And as we were coming out the front, he came out with his daughter and a couple people came, a little kids came up for autographs and he was like, all right, cool, cool. Right. But he was on family time. Now a couple adults came over. He's like, no, thanks. And I credit him for that. Right.
I do too.
I'll tell you too. The other guy that deserves a lot of credit, maybe not as, you know, your starting quarterback, but Boyle, God, as a person, just really a great guy. He was really great to everybody out there and stayed till as long as they would let him. To hang out with the folks wanting the autographs and stuff. So that was good. Jared Davis, good guy. Really want to see that redemption arc. Another guy who boy, I'm going to tell you, this guy looks like he could, he looks like a rookie, but Malcolm Rodriguez, Rodrigo, the lady's favorite this year. He had some smoking plays. I mean, he had a couple where he was just rock and roll star. Other times, you know, the rookie rust, the rookie.
He's a sixth round rookie. That's the context that you need to evaluate him in. The opening kickoff went down, made a great play, made a big stick, mm-hmm. Actually, that was his only tackle. Made a couple of nice reads where he was in position to clean up a tackle if somebody else didn't make it. But again, what I talked about a little bit earlier, he was late recognizing the backside containment responsibilities from his position at least twice that I saw. I haven't rewatched the game yet. I will do that probably tomorrow morning and offer thoughts on it. But yeah, energy, great. I thought his coverage was solid. And I thought there was a lot to like. He's going to be a guy. I think we saw it in the first Hard Knocks that, fan favorite, easy on the eyes. The ladies are going to like him. And he's a Detroit kind of linebacker. He plays the game the way Chris Spielman played the game. It's easy to see why the Lions liked him. I'm not saying he's Chris Spielman. I'm not saying he's the second coming of Chris Spielman, but you can't avoid the stylistic similarities there.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Love him. Love him. He was fun. His little smile, his dimples, I was told, is what's makes him so endearing.
And he's got that going for him.
Yeah
got some moves too. Showed it in Hard Knocks, the salsa dancing,
the smile, the dancing. He's got it all. He is going to be a great personality, pull a lot of people in on the Hard Knocks thing. I want to talk about something else really quick. Rodrigo has amazing teeth for sure. Mike they're almost as bright as Ross's was when he slept with the white strips in. If anyone remembers that old episode of Friends.
My goodness. There's a throwback. Yes.
We're going to take a second. In a second, we're going to get you, Riz, to start going waxing poetic about Kennedy. But Brandon, Chris and Jeff, do you think they should have skipped on the safety Kyle Hamilton by picking JMO? I'm going to say it's way too early to try to make that evaluation. If JMO rolls out and never plays, his legs in 14 pieces, you know, I'm trying to be silly extreme here. Yeah, that was a terrible move. JMO comes out, drops 1,500 yards this year after missing four games. I'm in, right? Well, we have to see. We don't have the data to make that.
Yeah, it's way too early on that. And we got to see what Kyle Hamilton does, too. I liked Hamilton a lot. He was the number one player on my draft board this year. I think he's going to be a fantastic player. But they made a conscious decision to go in a different direction. And we got to see what that direction leads to before we make any judgment on it.
Yeah. All right. So with that, I wanted to. There's one thing I want to touch on if I can, and then we'll kind of go back to to some of the play we saw. Roughing the passer was supposed to be a point of de-emphasis this year. If you remember, they were going to lay off on that. And then the Lions, Jared Davis got called on what I would say, even with the old rules, was a real BSE roughing the passer call. And I'm not here to complain about the refs. Please don't. This is preseason. It doesn't matter. But what it is trying to get consistency and an understanding of what the rules are. And every year, the preseason, when they talk about the points of emphasis or de-emphasis, they show those. That was not a call that should have been made. And that's going to lead to confusion in the league if they do dumb shit like that.
I would say I actually agreed with the call. He took two full steps. Not now, the steps were not of his own creation. He got pushed by Chris Board, his own teammate.
Right.
But he did, in fact, make contact well after the ball was gone, when the quarterback was still in a defenseless and protected position. That's the terminology you got to remember. They are protected by the league rules in that situation. Davis made contact with him, knocked him to the ground. By the letter of the law, it was a penalty. And I don't think it was a bad call. I do think that.
I
will absolve Davis a little bit in the fact that the board pushed him.
Yep.
And that's a guy trying to make a play. I'm not going to fault Chris Board for that either.
No. And we'll say, okay, that's the baseline. Now I'll agree with you on that. Then the next question I have, the This is incredible. The next question I have.
All right.
There we go. You're back. The next question I have then is the hit on, was it Blau or Boy? It was Blau, I think, that slid and got hit after he slid, and there was no call.
And they didn't call it.
Now,
that's ridiculous.
I took everything you just said about protect the quarterback and all that, and then this was like an absolute oddly obvious play, and this is where I'm going, right? Not complaining. Again, I want to be real clear. I'm not complaining about the officiating, but we're trying to establish what the rules are this year for the players, and we've got them giving them now an absolutely inconsistent message, and that's got to be frustrating for the players, and I know as a fan from many years of this, that's very, very frustrating from a fan's perspective as well when you don't know what the rules are. Calvin Johnson catch.
That was a play, the Blau play that you have in question, where I have seen I've seen Cam Newton get that call. I've seen Aaron Rodgers get that call without even being touched. Mm-hmm. And then I've seen Joe Burrow not get the call. We saw David Blau not get the call last night. There's a famous incident, and Texans fans will know exactly what I'm talking about, where Brock Osweiler slid, was starting to get up, and got knocked back down by the Patriots in one of their ugly games against the Patriots. And they didn't call it, and they actually earned an unsportsmanlike conduct because they protested so violently about it. Like, how is this not a penalty? It's frustrating. Very frustrating.
Vigorous protestations, as it were. Yes. So we'll see. This is interesting. This is going to be one to watch because the league has called attention to it. If it was just a inconsistency, okay, that's fine. We'll talk about it. But this was one of the things that they've said is a point of, we'll call it, de-emphasis. And now it's inconsistent. And, you know, you're watching to see what they're trying to establish as the rules. And they should have just not talked about it because now it's a mess.
I will say it's interesting that the Lions, so every year the NFL has officials go around from camp to camp and explain the rule changes and the emphasis and the de-emphasis. They have videos that go with it. They haven't had that in Detroit yet. I think they're actually getting it in Indianapolis this week. But so that might help, like, at least from the team perspective, clear up some of the things. And then generally the media gets to sit in on a press conference about that too, which is kind of cool. But this is not complaining about the officiating because it's preseason for them too. They're learning as well.
Yep.
But the inconsistent application of the rules is definitely frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. No. All right. So then we want to talk about the linebackers a little bit. I know that's your favorite position, Riz. You are an advocate
Play well last night.
First overall pick at linebacker.
You be kind.
The Lions are really testing your oh no, not before the third round. No offball linebackers before the third. You're going to be screaming for a first round linebacker one of these years until they don't get it together, man.
Yeah. So and last night again we talked about, you know, the style of play that the Falcons run is not conducive for having bad linebackers.
Yes.
Like, so next week, the Colts, Matt Ryan can't move. His backups really can't move. Yeah. Like, you're going to see much better linebacker. I think Anzalone is going to play next week too. And that will make a difference. I know people like to bag on 34. He is the best linebacker on the team. And in camp, there are probably 80% of the plays where he's really good. Now that's gotta get up there. But yeah, they did not play well last night. They are, and then again, we talked about this in the Patreon Slack, the smartest Lions chat on the internet. Go join it. It's worth it. It's worth your $5 a month. Please do it. They moneyballed linebacker on purpose. They you can't have strengths everywhere. They chose to have a weakness at linebacker because it is the least important position on the field for Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell and what they want to do. That's the one area where they are deviating from the Bill Parcells tree, which they come from. And Aaron Glenn told us this past week. Brian Duker, the safeties coach, told us this week. The playmaking position in this defense is not linebacker. It is safety. It's designed that way.
And let's be honest. What? Really quick. This team, to the first point you were making, had a dearth of talent at multiple positions.
Yes.
Part of the reason, I'm certain, the reason behind setting up the defense, as you're going to go into here, is to help cover some of those lacks of talent, because you can only get so many pieces in a year and you can only afford so many free agents. And we had to fix the cap in order to even get to a point where next year we'll be able to play a little bit. But there was so many gaps. They had to structure the defense in a way that allowed them to build a functional defense without linebackers in this case, because they just didn't have other players.
And where are your playmaking positions? Edge, cornerback, safety, not linebacker. And they focused on those other positions to the most part. And I think we're going to be happy with that. But, you know, safety is their playmaking position. And Tracy Walker played great last night. Now, the linebackers that they've got have got to play better. And one of the things that they are required to do is to be where they are supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. And from Derek Barnes last night, specifically on Atlanta's first drive, we did not see that. He wasn't where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there. I don't think at all. He's not had a great camp. It's time to start worrying a little bit about Derek Barnes and his progression. He had a fantastic tackle for loss later when he's attacking and you know, reading downhill and assigned to be that aggressive. It's good. As much as the defense is still built on aggression, there is still some reading that needs to be done by the linebackers and the safeties. They have to decipher things and make decisions quickly. That's not where Barnes is comfortable yet. Remember, this is a guy who was a pass rusher for most of his career at Purdue. This is only the third season that he's ever played off-ball linebacker. He's still learning it. There's a learning curve there.
It's a great point.
They're not good at linebacker. There's no question about it. And I would say I do think that the talent is, but I think Anzalone, I think Barnes, Rodriguez, I actually think that Josh Woods has something in him. Chris Boer did not play well last night. He's been better in camp than he was last night. They have potential to be adequate at linebacker, but they're absolutely not. It's not a strength of the team by design. And again, that's a conscious choice. Chris, to your point, they wanted to build up positions that are more important to them in that. Yep. And Aaron Glenn, Brian Duker, Anthony Aubrey Pleasant have all said, you know, they have purposely de-emphasized the linebacker. This is not me, you know, getting my wish. Well, it is what I want. Mm-hmm. But they have to be better. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
And I think they will. And that's the one thing, again, about these coaches and this team. Where they are today is not where they're going to be at the end of the season. They are all growing. Right. And remember, we're still on this youth movement. We've got, you know, Barnes is a young guy. He's only been in the league 1 year. A lot of these guys don't have the kind of road under their wheels that we're expecting. Good one here from Mark LeBay. I think this defense looks more like a Sean Payton D than a Bill Parcells D. Well, I think Sean Payton's D is an evolution of the Parcells defense. And I would say that this is an evolution of the Sean Payton defense, right? I mean, I think you can trace the roots back to Parcells, but you can't. I mean, we watched Matt Patricia try to run the 1986 Giants defense forever. And it doesn't work today. Yeah. You have to be able to evolve. So I think what we have is, again, given the talent you had when they took over this team, And then the coaches they got, how they're evolving and designing this defense is really around the talent they have. Again, look, we don't have linebackers. That's a de-emphasized position because we didn't have linebackers. We had needs at other positions. They're now building toward something that de-emphasizes the linebackers to help maximize their strength and build this defense around the talent that they have as well as the talent that they plan on getting. This is much better than trying to ask players like Jared Davis to run a read and react defense like Matt Patricia wanted him to do. That you're now tailoring your defense to your players. This is a big deal, and people should get used to this and be more excited about it than I think what they are, of course.
And I will say that the safeties not playing well outside of Tracy Walker behind the linebackers did not help the perception of the linebackers last night. I thought Tracy played a great game. I thought,
did you say safeties?
Kirby Joseph did not play well.
Did you say the safeties? Yeah,
it was rough. Juju Hughes did not play well at all. The touchdown pass at the end, look, Boswell's got to make a play on that ball too at corner. But you saw Juju Hughes sprinting across the field because he wasn't where he was supposed to be because he got lost.
Were you talking about the
safety play has to be better too.
So you're talking about the safeties?
Yes.
These nuts.
Sorry. I just want to play that every minute, every minute.
You're still 12. I love it.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah. No, the absolutely. So Tracy Walker. Look, Kirby. Let's talk about Kirby a little bit. Kirby Joseph out there. Another guy who had a mixed bag of success. He had a couple plays where he looked really strong. He had a couple plays where he looked like a rookie preseason game, a little bit vanilla on the defense. This again, I'm not this defense played better than I expected them to. I'm not saying they were great. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not shipping Kool-Aid down the street here, but I didn't have high expectations. So I was really happy with what we've seen so far out of these guys.
I was frustrated by the lack of, and we talked about it already, the quarterback running. I also thought that the coverage, I don't think that the outside corners played well.
Jeff Okuda was the next guy I was going to go to, yep.
Yeah, Oruwariye got beat badly by Drake London on a drag route where he's, look, it was a nice throw by Mariota, but that's a play that he's got to make. Like, you're in position to do that. You just let him catch it, and go. That was rough. Okuda didn't do a lot. Will Harris played one play. He left with a hand injury. We don't have an update on that yet, but from what it sounds like he didn't even stop on the sideline. He just went straight into the locker room. That's typically not good. I hope that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, depth guys, they're learning out there. AJ Parker had a rotten game. I will say this, and this isn't breaking news for the people that are outside or that are in the Slack, but for people that are outside it, you're going to see a different starting slot corner in week one than we saw last night. That's a player that didn't play last night, and he wears number 39, and his name is Jerry Jacobs. And as soon as he is ready to go, he should be, I would say stronger than should, the starting slot corner for the Detroit Lions.
Yep.
And that will help a lot. And some of it, look, Jerry is, he's not a complete player, but one of the things that he does really well, he is a vicious tackler and he's a smart tackler, and he's not going to get lost the way that AJ Parker did, the way that Chase Lucas, who by the way is a pretty smart player in his own right, did not have a great debut either. Made one nice closing tackle, but that's, and should have had an interception, dropped it.
Yep.
I saw things to like from Chase Lucas there, but yeah, that, and you talk about defensive evolving. That's one of the areas where they're going to evolve and move things around. And I can't say for certain that Jerry will be activated for week one, but I'm leaning towards him being out there on week one. When I do the next 53 man roster projection, I'm going to have him being on the active roster and somebody else not being on it.
Yeah. And the thing about Jerry, and this is something I noticed with the ones on the field as well. I don't know if anybody else saw this, but the tackling was much improved year over year.
Yes.
And then year over year over year, incredibly. You know, Patricia talked about fundamentals all the time, but they tackling was a huge issue for the team. Those ones last night came out and they were tackling. I mean, my son just turned to me and said, these guys, I don't remember them ever tackling like this.
Right.
And it was like,
now there's a difference between like the physical act of tackling I thought was very good. Mm-hmm. And we saw a lot of different examples of that. The getting in position to make the tackle was where they struggled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I think a lot of that was out of the over pursuit. I mean, I think that was what they were, how they set up and how they were executing. I don't think they were adjusting. I think they were like, okay, we're going to run our pursuit defense tonight. And maybe, how do I put this? We talked about this with Patricia, putting people in tough positions and seeing how they react. It could well be that there's some of that, and it's a different way of doing it when Campbell and company do it, I think. And I think they just said, this is the defense. They know they've got a running quarterback in Mariota. They know he's doing one quarter, and then they're going to keep watching and they're going to see how all of these guys work with the different quarterbacks they have. Because if you stretch them like this, you can really test them at their limits. And they've talked about it. We'll talk about Hard Knocks here in a little bit, but when they get in and do their thing. God, I lost it. Sorry. I lost my train of thought. It's so early. I hate when that happens. Why? I just want to sleep in one day. All right. you can see these guys at their limits and see what they do. And they talked about it in Hard Knocks that, you know, when you're at 80%, and you're you know, taking them out to the depths. You just get your hands on them. I mean, what kind of soul do you have? And we'll have a quote from about that from Hard Knocks where they elaborate on that a little bit. But Funchess, yes, we talked about Funchess. Funchess was really good out there. Did some great stuff. He's definitely a guy to watch. Anybody else? Riz, let's talk about the running backs a little bit. I think we haven't touched on that.
Swift looked great. I was surprised that they gave him the ball, quite frankly, because they are more than a little concerned about his durability. Let's put it that way. And he looked great, did great. So, you know, no issue there. He looked good. Jamal dropped a pass. I thought he ran very well. I thought he read blocks well. And that's something that's critical for Jamal, because he's not the biggest, he's not the fastest, but when he gets that package going, he did well. You know, you saw some things. Jamar, I thought, missed some opportunities. Just to go bigger picture, I don't think Jamar's making the team. Some of it is the fact that he's, how to be polite about it, not adept in passing situations. I'll be gentle on him.
You've had enough of that shit.
Yeah. So if he's missing holes and cutback lanes, and he did that a couple times just from my first watch, I noticed that. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to go too well for him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So yeah, running backs, his whole Swift was, I don't want to say unimpressive. He was mediocre. I felt like, I mean, Jamal Williams was mediocre. Dropped that pass, which was really early, really disappointing to me, because the expectation is that he's going to catch those. He just didn't have the concentration. It's a one play. And the best part about Jamal Williams is, as I sit here and think about it, is watching him at camp or before the games when he's playing catch with the fans, and the fans drop it, and then he's like, "Oh yeah, that was me. What would you say?" Right? he just talks a little smack, and then they throw it back to him, and he makes these wild behind the back one handed catches, you know, blah, 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 blah. So it was just a momentary lapse of confidence, too easy to catch. So he took it for granted, and his brain moved on as if he had already caught it. So happens. Hopefully, you know, that's why we have the preseason, help remind us of those kinds of things and make sure that we don't want to play that way. All right. Let's see. With that, anything else you want to cover overall? Special teams? Would you like to talk about special teams at all?
Kickers were great. I will say Riley Patterson, he's not known for having a big leg. Mm-mm. In Wednesday's practice. And then again, last night, he put kickoffs 8 yards deep in the end zone. I've never seen him do that before. That's a concerted effort on his part. And it's the reason why Seibert hasn't won the job yet, because Patterson is getting better at what he needs to get better at. That's coaching, folks. Dave Phipp knows what the hell he's doing.
Oh, hell yeah. Phipp is great. And I'll tell you what, Patterson also working his butt off out there. Early in practice, first day of pads, the last practice before pads, he couldn't bang a 50-yarder through. I mean, he just couldn't. He bounced it off the lower bar. He came short, wide, whatever. He just couldn't do that. And starting to see some leg appear. I don't know if he's, you know, he quit skipping leg day or whatever. But my guy's showing up, and I like what I'm seeing. He's a good kid, great personality, accurate. Would love to see him just get that kind of the depth out of that ball like you're talking about his kickoffs.
Yeah, coverage units were good. Rodrigo did great. Josh Woods had a great rep. I thought return game, not so great. My guy Khalil Pimpleton had the nice return at the end. I'm glad he tried to run it out. That you're trying to make plays in that situation. He did all right. You know, you're going to see more there. That is a battle that's unresolved. Again, Maurice Alexander, I'm going to give him a little bit of love, even though he didn't do much last night. He's been really good in practice, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he made the team. Now he's got an uphill climb to do that. But Quintez Cephas being out and not being ready, and might not be ready next week either, it's opening the door, and it's not Trinity Benson that's running through it. Tom Kennedy ran through it last night as well. Tom Kennedy had a phenomenal game, but Maurice Alexander gives you a little bit more juice than what Kennedy does. And he didn't really see it last night, but we've seen it a lot on the practice field. So keep an eye on him as we go into Colts week here.
Real scrappy gym rat, right? All right. Phipp size. Yeah, Dave, I'm going to tell you, and I saw Phipp. What was it? Was it one of the previews for Hard Knocks or something else? It was Hard Knocks. It was a preview. He was talking to the camera. He's like, hey, what's this? Hey, what are you doing there? He's always like into the equipment and what people are doing and how it works.
Very inquisitive.
Yeah. And he's in there. He's always just talking. It was funny. I mean, I will never forget him just going to town with all our drops and all the buttons we have. Just hit his favorite drop that we had at Senior Bowl when, as we were getting ready before we interviewed him. He hit this no less than 10 times.
You've had enough of that shit.
He loved that.
His face lit up every time we hit it too. It's so great. He's like, this is great.
Fip is awesome. Dave, he's really awesome. He's got a great personality. He's a cool cat. So, all right, let's move on. Let's talk about D's Hard Knocks. You okay with that?
Yes.
It was absolutely. It was good. We're going to cover a couple of quotes here. I have a feeling that we're going to get demonetized by the tube because of it, but you can always help with the super chat, or if you're watching after the fact, there's the thanks thing afterward. Really appreciate that. All right, let's see. Let's get into the first one. This is kind of the opener, and this is where Dan Campbell talks about grit. And this is really important because this is foundational for the team, and really kind of one of the core beliefs that Dan has for
how you guys are in here. It's our core foundation, man, grit. And what does it mean? Really, in a nutshell, I think it means this. We'll go a little bit longer, we'll push a little harder, and we'll think a little deeper and a little sharper. Like, to me, it means we'll play anywhere. We'll play on grass, we'll play in turf, we'll go to a fucking landfill. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes, I will beat your ass. It means that normally I'm 100%, 85%, man. That's all I need to beat you. I don't care. I will produce and win at 85%. You guys already know you're not going to be 100% until next March. This is the best you're going to feel right now. It's the best you're going to feel. The quicker you accept that, man, the better off we're all going to be.
All right. Got to go back to one thing.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
Where did he come up with that? What? Like, that's... I love it.
What, one ass cheek and three toes. Fingers don't... I have no idea what my mind... What's going on. Oh, my God. Yes, we're doing that.
I enjoyed it. I did not watch it in real time. I got up Wednesday morning at like 5 a.m. to watch it, just because that's my wacky sleep schedule. I enjoyed that I'm drinking my morning coffee. I'm sitting there. I'm like, he said what?
I got it really quick. So thank you, Lioneer of Douchebagia. I'll contribute for MCTC F-bombs. And then right after, I appreciate that. That's a huge super chat. I appreciate that. Speakeasy Sports, Dan Campbell beating handicaps out here. LOL.
No.
I hadn't even thought of that.
I hadn't either. That's going to become a thing, isn't it? Oh, crap.
Oh my God. Ken, thank you for this one. D's Nuts Lions podcast. That way you can keep the keep the initials.
D's Nuts.
I can't believe Coach got somebody on that. I mean, you got me on it, so I shouldn't say much.
Yeah, that's great. Cheek and three toes. I mean, I saw this and I keep trying to get my wife or my son to play along where someone has number one ass cheeks and someone has number three and toes. We'll roll around the game in our jerseys, right? Oh man, that was great stuff. This Hard Knocks is something special.
It was awesome, man. It was just awesome.
I the only thing, and so I'm sitting in a hotel in Pennsylvania. My family, we want to watch it together, but we didn't have a way to so we're like, okay, ready, play. Okay, bye, and hang up and watch it. And then we talked after. Just so great. Afterwards, all I could do is tweet, I love this team, right? I mean, it was so great, so heartening to see that episode and get behind the scenes, the coaches. Dan Campbell telling Shep about cutting his hair. That small scene went by a lot of people. Super, super meaningful. Because what's the message here, right? And this is, we'll get a little bit about leadership. I'm going to talk a little bit about it in a little bit with another thing. But that is, You're here because of you. We want you to bring your whole self to work, who you are. You are here because of the person you are. And whatever it is, if you believe your hair is part of who you are, you wear your hair how you want. But you bring yourself to the job because we hired you and the self that is you, because you're that good and we think you can do it. It said so much. And you saw Shep react, right? It meant a lot to him on a personal level, but it says so much from a leader to tell their people, I want you. I hired you because of who you are and what you bring. If you bring long hair, if you bring short hair, it doesn't matter. You're you, and that's who I want, right? Really, really absolutely strong.
I thought it was great. I really thought that the entire way that they presented the assistant coaches and having them be featured performers. Look, the last time that I went through Hard Knocks, it was Greg Williams. It was Todd Haley under Hugh Jackson. They hated each other. And they didn't hide it. Yeah. And it was obvious to anybody who was ever out of Browns practice, those two just physically did not like one another. They didn't work well together. Mm-hmm. And I thought, for me, the best quote, and maybe you have it here, is what Deuce Staley said to Aaron Glenn.
We have that.
Yeah.
Let me see. And we'll get into that actually. Okay.
Yeah. That for me was the biggest highlight of the show, honestly.
Yeah.
Because to what you were just talking about with Jeff, that's what Dan's all about. That's what this Lions regime is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So this next one goes a little bit into talking about we have running quarterbacks we're playing against. We're going to play a pursuit defense and we're not going to adjust on that because we want to put these guys into the shallows.
All right. Now, there's a number of teams as it equates to, just bear with me, the ocean, right? There's a number of teams. They just barely get to the water. You got to get in the water to compete. The number of teams, that's all they get to. Then there's a number of teams, they are in the shallows. And they come in a hurry, man, and they are all over your ass. They're all over your ass, and they strike and move. They strike and move, and they're dangerous, man. You just got to get a hold of them, though. If you can just get a hold of them, and you start dragging their ass out to the deep, dark abyss, you can drown them. And that's what we got to be. That's who we have to be, because that's our domain. That is our domain. Because we'll tread water as long as it takes to fucking bury you. We'll go as long as it takes because we can and we choose to. That's who we are. That's who we have to be. Now, it goes without saying, the teams that are dangerous in the shallows and the abyss are probably the top four or five in this league. That's who they are. And that's what we're working to.
There you go. All right. And that's one where it's YouTube. I mean, that's fair use. We're doing some news reporting here on an event that happened. So it shouldn't get demonetized, but that's where YouTube always grabs you, is on those kinds of clips right there. So that's how it is. But anyway, what a great quote, right? I mean, you get them into the shallows. They may be quick, but you get a hold of them and you take them out to the depths and then you bury them. I don't know if you bury people. I mean, Hugh just said you drown them, but the metaphors get a little mixed sometimes, you know, one ass cheek, three toes, the whole thing.
Everyone in Germany bombed Pearl Harbor. Exactly. That's all I can think of when he said it.
Completely. The Germans bombing Pearl Harbor. That's what happened there. So
that's from a movie, kids, by the way. Go watch Animal House, please. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It you just need to.
Yeah.
If you're under 40, watch it. Required viewing for today.
All right. I'm going to, where are we? Here we go. Okay. So you have the setup. You have the player, you have, you know, coach putting everything together, putting the guys on notice that, you know, we are a team that fights hard. We're a team that doesn't give up. We are a team, you know, this is bigger than biting kneecaps. We're going to get our hands on them and we're going to take them out to the depths and we're going to drown them, bury them, whatever. Really, really, really good stuff. But it wasn't without fun. And this is a little bit of a longer clip, but this is worth it because it's such a grand moment. How do the guys have fun? Well, tell me your name and how much.
My name's Aiden Hutchinson. I'm from Michigan, and my signing bonus was 23 mil.
For sure. She told me her name was Osha. The movie scene. I said, "Don't mind what you do to me. I am the one." She told me her name's Billie Jean. Across the scene, every head turned and eyes dream being the one. In the round, people always told me
know that there's a chorus group farming from the Detroit Lions team, but you talk about camaraderie, bro. I was singing Billie Jean. What are you talking about?
that was amazing. The fact that everybody got into it like that, that they're comfortable enough around that. Jared Davis ripped his shirt off during that. Like that's brotherhood, man. That's what it's all about.
It was such a great scene, such a great time. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. All right. So then, you know, there's the understanding of who we are. They define who they are. They have a little bit of fun. The rookie comes in and you see he messes up in the beginning, gets a little bit of the rookie boo haze, and then comes in and everybody gets behind him. I mean, that room full of people singing tells you what a team it is. It was great. It was great. All right, so they get out and they have the team out there. I was here the practice before this practice and the practice after the first day of pads. This was interesting, the closeout, because I haven't heard anyone in the media or anywhere talk about this. But at the end of practice, when they grouped up and talk, and we have the audio here, they played it on Hard Knocks. They were together for a long time, and this is the thing, you can hear some of the audio cuts in the show. They're really obvious. Hearing them audio only, but when you see them with the video, they're not as obvious. But this first day closeout, or this first day of pads closeout, was really interesting because they spent a lot of time talking in the breakdown. And it's you'll hear Campbell first, then we'll get to Jamal Williams, who also did a closeout after Coach Campbell. We get to talk to Aleem McNeil. We talked to a whole bunch of players after this, and Aleem said, it was interesting, and you'll hear these quotes, but I want you to put this in your head first. Aleem said, "We got to do better. We were a little down today, but we'll do better tomorrow. We'll bring it back." He walked away, and he knew the practice wasn't the practice that they wanted, and they were being asked for a lot from Campbell, and he talks about it here right now as he closes out the first day of padded practice.
So, look, here's what I got to get across, guys. I had a couple of you look at me like, "What the fuck? Why are we going live?" I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic. I swear to you. And if I absolutely knew we could get to where we need to get without ever putting pads on, I'd do it, I swear to you. I don't want to put anybody in jeopardy. However, I do know this. The studies say you got to get volume and you got to get intensity before a season comes. You have to. If you don't, I'm not getting you prepared, not only physically for injury, but also for us as a team to get better. Defensively, what is the essence of what we do, man? What are the two things? Pursuit and tackle, pursuit and tackle. Man, if you don't work on tackling, if we don't work on run after catch, making a move, man, what are we doing, man? Then we finally get to week 8 and we come to life because we got enough reps. But I'm telling you, honestly, I'm doing this because it actually does help you with injury. If we do it the right way, We're not going to do it every day, but I got a plan, I swear to you. All I think about is you guys. That's all I think about, man. That's all I fucking think about is you guys and how I'd set you up for the best fucking possible, the best possible advantage I can give you to have a season. I swear to you, man. I just need you to trust me. That's all. Please. Let's be better tomorrow.
There it was. And so off of that, Jamal Williams speaks after this and breaks him down. But that's, you heard what he said. He wasn't happy with what they had. And then Aleem, just talking to him, doing autographs, you know, right, and doing his thing. And he's very open, talked about it, and said, you know, we got to do better. Aleem's beast every time I saw him out there. If he wants to do better, awesome. But I was, you know, it was something. So that was really good to see Campbell's breakdown there.
Definitely. And it's something that you would not have seen from the prior regime.
No,
it would not have gone that way. Suffice to say,
question for the chat off topic. Do you still have a promo code for Diamond CBD? Yeah. Go to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. Use coupon code Lions. We'll get you 55% off. There you go. cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. All right. So then we go and we're going to get into the Jamal's breakdown here and the closeout of the day and pads. This is, and we saw Jamal too. And what was interesting is he had recovered and was just his Jamal self when we saw him after this. But this is a pretty emotional moment.
Well, let y'all know, man, today is the minimum of effort. Tomorrow we're going to come back even better. I know we started out slow. I know we got pads on the first day coming back. I know we looking at Coach crazy, but we got to believe in him. You know what I mean? He gonna put us in the right position. We just got to come out here and be dogs. We got to come out here and know we got to be champions. If today y'all think this is it, this ain't it. We got to keep going. Do not give up. Do not feel like you tired. Were you tired? Think of last year and think of that fucking record. Every time I get tired or I think I can't go no more, I think of that fucking record. That ain't us. We can make it. We got to believe. We got to be mentally strong. When we tired, that's when we got to put our fundamentals together. That's when we got to be more focused. When we tired, look across the field and see how tired they are. That should give you more effort. Be like, I'm going to beat his ass. I'm going to get fundamentally strong. Everybody's great when they're not tired. The champions is when they tired, that's when the real champions come out. That's when that real dog come out. Because if you go piss like a puppy, stay on the porch and let the big dogs eat. Let them on the fucking field. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all. Last year wasn't it. Last year, fuck, got me angry, pissed. But this year, I'm trying to be better for y'all. When you say I'm tired, I'm gonna keep going. Remember your why. Remember why you play football. I want y'all to give everything you got. Yes, sir. Every day.
Be riding with you.
Do your best. Let's go. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions.
All right. I want to talk about something very specific that he said there and something that I've heard a couple of times from different people on this team. This goes directly to that servant leadership piece that I've talked about since the beginning. There's an author and speaker named Simon Sinek. He does a book called Find Your Why. And it talks about specifically what you're doing and how you could look at it from a number of different directions, but people so often talk about, you know, what and then how, and then they end on why. And, you know, we've got a great computer with these kind of features. And so go buy it, right? Because you need it. But if you start with the why, the emotional connection, the reason you need this computer, Apple does it really well. A lot of brands kind of start with your heart. And then come out from there. It's the same thing on your job. Why are you doing your work every day? Why is this? And why am I here? And what is driving me? And then how am I going to achieve that? And then what is it that I'm going to do? And if you approach from that centered out from starting with your why, it's a whole different approach to work. It's a whole different approach to leadership and stuff. So it's one of those things. Yeah, Ken, thanks. Maybe it's a speech I should give my sound equipment before every show. but that's something I heard, and I've heard it a couple times, but I want to point that out. Highly recommend Find Your Why, Simon Sinek. Great stuff. But this is, again, I'm telling you, they've given all the clues and they've talked about it, the way and the style of leadership. And one of the things that you talk about with this, and I'll be quick, Riz, and let you react. But, you know, so often we reward companies and people for this kind of frenetic piece. And then at some point in time, they've reached an objective. And we don't talk about the people who make that steady climb. They may not get to the objective on the same day, but they supersede it over time. And they're not this frenetic thing, because this frenetic thing is what makes people quit and what makes people give up, the rapid highs and lows. But if you have something predictable, I'm going the wrong way. If you have something predictable, a nice long climb, people can invest in it. And with this style of leadership, that's what they're building. This, again, the 6-year contracts that they got tell me that is the model here. Take the ride, enjoy the ride, enjoy the path to get there. It's been a long time, but this is, I think, what's being built. And you see Jamal Williams talking about it in a breakdown. You hear other people talking about, coaches talking about, find your why and how this team is being built. Good breakdown though from Jamal, right?
Absolutely. It was emotional, but it was also focused. Like he didn't try to bury people in water. Like he knew what he was doing there.
Yeah.
And I loved the reaction of the teammates around him. A couple guys saying, you know, I love you, man. Like that's cut from Dan's cloth. Yep. That's what we talk about. They're all from the same seamstress, baby. And that's going to make a huge difference. Didn't necessarily see it a lot last night, but as time goes over, and again, it was one preseason game. We're going forward. We're going up that hill. We're all going there together. And we might not get to the top of that hill this year, but you can certainly see them climbing in the direction that they need to be going. And that's great embodiment of it.
Yep. Okay. I know Riz is out of time. I'm going to cut less than a minute of clips here. We're going to just get a couple. We'll short line it. Really quick, here's a Deuce Staley quote.
I truly love him, but I want to fuck him up between the lines. I'm going to tell you straight up.
I loved that quote. That was what really resonated with me, because that is Deuce being Deuce. And that's what Dan wants. And that is something that, again, I've been around a lot of organizations that have failed. That sentiment and that respect for one another is not something that you get every day. That was great. I love that. That right there is also why Deuce will be a head coach next year somewhere else.
Potentially, yeah. All right, 20 seconds here.
I'm keeping this brief. The last thing I'm going to say is this. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. There is no light. There's a song Metallica has, No Leaf Clover, and it says, man, when it comes to the soothing light at the end of your tunnel, it's just a freight train coming your way. Or if you're seeing a fucking light, it's a freight train. Just put your head down and go to work. It's about to be fun, man. It's about to be fun.
There you go. Oh, man, that's great. So two songs. I'm singing Billie Jean. I'm singing No Leaf Clover after this thing. Just stoked.
By the way, they played No Leaf Clover at the start of the fourth quarter last night. I listened to it going into Allen Park twice. Different versions. I listened to the S&M version. I listened to the album version of it on the way into practice Wednesday morning. It's getting back into the rotation.
Yeah.
Great tune.
Yep. And then this one's just like seconds long, but I gotta hit this last one because we gotta get it in its entirety.
Come on, Deez. Deez Nuts.
On deck. What?
It's the oldest trick in the boat.
I guess we're going through and switching it now.
It's old school.
Yeah, you did. Yes, you did. Deez Nuts.
There you go. Ah, oh, that's good stuff. All right, everyone. Thanks for putting up with everything early in the show. Follow us.
Thank you.
We will be back next weekend for sure on Saturday. There's a lot of travel. I'm traveling again. We're going to be Saturdays till the end of this month, and then we're going to get back on our Wednesday time frame. We appreciate everyone for joining us and doing this with us. You guys are the best and gals, and stick with it. Hard Knocks. We're talking about maybe doing a little something this week. We'll see.
I'm going to be remote this week. I will try to record something during the week, just a little thoughts and something, but we'll get that done. But yeah, but by the way, hit the like button, subscribe to the channel so you know when we're going to be coming and giving you content.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Thank you. It's free. Don't cost nothing.
Thank you. Yeah. Help us out with this. Get this thing through the algorithm do the thing. Let people find us. Hit the like, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who does that. You are our kind of heroes. All right. Remember, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com. I'll just throw this up really quick. You can see my Antonio Brown quote. Don't forget us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions podcast. This little meme came up out of there, out of the Slack chat you get access to if you do as little as $5 a month on the donation side. It's a great time. I have to read this really quick. It's a meme from the Antonio Brown quote. This is me, and it is a picture from our last show. My biggest regret as a podcaster doesn't involve calling a certain 2014 first round tight end a slacker, or showing up to the training camp party full tilt until 3 a.m., or throwing back Jaeger shots on the St. Jude's 24 hour show. And it definitely doesn't involve taking a pie in the face and doing a victory lap around the neighborhood while my family throws up deuces. My biggest regret is I'll never get to see me, Chris, host a podcast live. Sure, I can watch the YouTube video afterwards, but I can't imagine what it was like for you all to see something like that. Like watching Metallica or Jesus perform at Red Rocks. Chris, the Detroit Lions podcast on his biggest regret. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast. It's the very best place to show up and be pants free. Also, give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word is the account, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line at 929-335-4667. That's 929-33-LIONS. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so Riz and I can do what? What do we love to do?
We'd love to come into your ear holes automatically.
That's right. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. Remember, no pans, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, because we are your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. Thank you all for tuning in.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
You've had enough of that shit.